Welcome to the My Essential Birth podcast. I'm Courtney.
And I'm Stephanie, and we're professional doulas, childbirth educators, and the creators of My Essential Birth, the holistic, empowering online childbirth education course helping mothers everywhere confidently achieve their best birth. So join us each week as we share tips and advice for all things pregnancy, birth, and beyond.
Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so that you can be the first to get new content. And head over to www.myessentialbirth.com for more information about our birth course and to join a community of mamas just like you.
We're so excited to have Deb Flaschenberg here with us. She is she's got a prenatal yoga center in New York City. We're going to give her a moment to introduce herself. And we're really excited for today's episode. So we're glad you're tuning in.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So thank you for having me on. Yeah, I'd love to tell you, well, your listeners, you guys know me a little bit because you were on my podcast. So I'm Deb Flaschenberg. I am the founder and director of Prenatal Yoga Center in New York City. Of course, that's all online now because we still have not opened our doors yet in New York City. We've been closed for a year. But I have been a doula for over 10 years, although I've taken a bit of a break because I have two young kids. And I'm also a certified Lamaze teacher. I've been very much into the spinning babies methodology for quite a while. I'm on track to do their parent educator certification. And I also did a birthing from within workshop, and I haven't quite finished all my paperwork for that, but I like gathering methodologies. And of course, I am a yoga teacher. I've been a yoga teacher for 20 years. I came to that from a dance and singing background. And I have my own podcast called Yoga Birth Babies, which was so fun to have you guys on. That was really a hoot.
Thank you.
We loved it too.
It was fun.
Yeah. So one of the things we discussed with you, and we love asking all of our guests, what is something that lights you up? What are you passionate about? What do you wish every expectant couple knew heading into pregnancy and in preparation for birth? And I loved when we asked you this question because you had a topic that just really kind of lit you up. And I was like, oh, that's it. That's what we need to talk about. And that is, you know, we live a very modern lifestyle. We do things a certain way, right? We sleep, we sit in certain positions, we're driving and pressing the gas pedal with the right foot. This can cause a lot of imbalance in the pelvis. And if you're a birth worker or you're familiar with birth in general, you might know that if your pelvis isn't balanced, then that you're not doing yourself any favor. So this is the topic that I just would love for you to share with our listeners. Why is achieving balance in the pelvis in preparation for birth and during pregnancy, why is that so important?
Oh, this lights me up. I am so excited to talk about this. And I'll just give a little bit of hindsight of why this lights me up so much. So for my first child, I did everything totally wrong, even though I knew what to do right. I didn't see the bigger picture. I did, and not that, you know, spinning is bad. I'm a Peloton rider myself, but I did a ton of that. And what that did for my body is it created a lot of tightness in my psoas and my pelvic floor. And I didn't, which is, you know, it's fine to spin and it's fine to do all these things, but I didn't counter that with finding a release, with doing body work, with releasing the pelvic floor, with making sure my pelvis was balanced. And what happened was then, because there was that imbalance, while my son's head was down and his spine was forward, his head was asynclitic, meaning his ear was closer to his shoulders. So instead of having the smallest part of his head pushing open the cervix, and that's what the uterus does, it pushes that baby down. And I always think of it like a turtleneck sweater, that the chin is tucked in, that smallest part of the head is pushing against the cervix, open it like a turtleneck sweater. He was going kind of sideways there. And it was just taking a super long time. It was just a slow, methodical labor. And there was a bit of a lip to the cervix, meaning it was a little thicker on one side. And so after that 42-hour arduous labor, I stepped back and I talked to a physical therapist. I talked to my midwife. I talked to my doula. I'm like, what happened? And they had said, you know, they thought all the yoga I was doing was going to be enough. And I guess we didn't really have a chat about what I was doing to my body. And I think some of the ego, and I'll admit it was some of my ego. I didn't surrender how I should have. I didn't look at am I creating suppleness? Because the body really needs suppleness. I was creating a lot of tension. So when we have a lot of tension, we have imbalance in the bony pelvis, the two innominate bones in the sacrum. That's going to create some imbalance then in some of the ligaments and several ligaments that attach to the cervix. And that can pull the cervix out of alignment. So as the uterus is trying to push that baby down, kind of like a plunger or a piston, if the baby is slightly malpositioned in the uterus and the cervix isn't in a great position, we're not having, it's like threading a needle or a button through a buttonhole. If there's that imbalance, baby just may not have the optimal rotation and may not be pressing efficiently against the cervix to open it. So we need the soft tissue, we need the ligaments, the pelvic floor, and the bony pelvis to be well balanced and aligned to create that optimum space for baby to descend and rotate and find its way through. So it was from my challenging birth that I really got passionate about creating a yoga practice as well as awareness of trying to create balance so that baby can find its way through as best as possible. I mean, some people, and it's like not like birth pies, like not like a recipe. It's just because you do all these things doesn't guarantee, you know, a functional quick labor, but it can definitely set someone up for possibly the cards stacked in their favor for more success.
Absolutely. I find it interesting that sometimes this can manifest itself in birth with stalls in labor that we see commonly. You know, we like to tell our listeners that sometimes you'll notice a stall as baby's trying to navigate the inlet of the pelvis. And this is often around 2 to 3 centimeters. And sometimes you'll have a stall about midway through, and that's around 6 or 7 centimeters. And I wish women knew these things and knew that, you know, you're not failing to progress. There's nothing wrong with you. And in fact, I kind of hate that whole phrase altogether, but you know, there's things that we can do and be mindful of in order to help help stack things, I guess, in favor of a smoother birth and consistent labor patterns and things like that. So I love that you took something that was challenging and maybe even a little bit frustrating, the experience of your first birth, and are turning that into a way and a mission to empower women to know more about it. So thank you.
Yeah, because I wish that people had talked about it more, and maybe they did and I just didn't hear it, which is very, very possible. But it's because it was so challenging, and then my postpartum healing was just so hard because I pushed for so long. It really became a mission. Like you said, like, I don't want other people to have that. And if I can provide some awareness of that, and what is also frustrating, and you guys have probably had this as doulas, is it's just so much more than baby being head down. You know, chin tucked in, yeah. Where is the spine? Is there movement? Can that discomfort, I'll even use the word pain of labor, inform our bodies of how we need to move to let baby, like you said, like sometimes the baby's in the inlet, but sometimes we're in the mid pelvis and we need to open the pelvis in one way to help baby continue to descend down. So it's this big kind of orchestra of baby movement as well as the pelvis softening and suppleness to open up.
Right. And I think it's so important too. I feel like, gosh, we've been on this soapbox for a couple episodes now, but just the freedom of movement and positioning. And even if you do choose to get an epidural, how important it is to be upright and hips open and changing from side to side. This is not like a stagnant thing that we do in birth as women. And we know an unmedicated woman would never. She would never stay in one spot laying on her back. That's just not what we do. We move and we sway and we lunge, and you do all these different things to get baby down and moving through intuitively with your baby. You work with your baby to bring them into a better position. So freedom of movement is so huge.
Yeah. And if someone does have an epidural, I'm sure, I believe you guys, because I looked at all your podcasts, I'm pretty sure you guys have something on a peanut ball. And that's a great way. Because I'm like, I strongly remember seeing pictures of that on your website. But that's a great way of creating openness as well as balance. And sometimes an epidural is actually what someone needs. I've been at births that were hours and hours and hours long. And then there's just so much tension, because if someone's, you know, 30 hours in, their pelvic floor, their butt, you know, every time they have a contraction, they clench. Then that, and that's adding that tension, which is then again, creating that imbalance where baby may not be able to descend because there's just so much tension. So I've seen an epidural do wonders. And in hindsight, had I not been at home, I did a home birth. Had I not been at home, an epidural probably would have done a great job for my tight pelvis. I can see that now.
We are huge advocates for women. If you want an epidural, get one, and you don't have to be on your back through it the whole time. Not only can you utilize a peanut ball, you can have somebody help you rotate from side to side. And so I love that there's so many tools at their disposal. So I'm curious, burning question on my mind right now. So for baby number two, was it yoga then that helped?
Oh my God.
Was that the solution?
I think it was so much. So literally, I remember being like 6 weeks pregnant and I was laying on my side. My husband's like, you can sit, you know, you can sit back on the couch. I'm like, I'm setting the intention that this baby has the perfect balance. So I think it was a few things. Honestly, I didn't get back onto a cycle, like a spin bike, until after baby. I was actually bike riding around New York City. And at one point I was like 22 weeks pregnant during the winter. My husband finally took my bike away. So I don't think it's that. It's like December and like snowing. I'm like, I'm fine. He's like, it's ridiculous. So he took my bike
away. I know.
And so I think it was that, but you know what? I did a lot of yoga. I did a lot of and it was also the yoga I was doing. So I think for my first, again, I'm going to be the first to say, I had a hard time surrendering to my ego. I came from a dance background. I had a very advanced practice. So some of that can create tightness in the pelvic floor. So I went into it in a whole different way. I was looking at asanas that are not super pelvic floor involved. I was looking to find softness in the pelvic floor. I did a lot of body work. I worked with a chiropractor who did a lot of web technique. As a former dancer, I have a lot of mobility. So I want to make sure that my pelvis was staying symmetrical so that the sacrum was aligned, because there's multiple ligaments that are going to the sacrum. And if the sacrum's out of whack, that can again throw those ligaments off and create some of that internal imbalance, that intrauterine constraint. So I did a ton of yoga that wasn't about hardening the body. I did a ton of body work. I wasn't doing spin classes per se. And again, nothing's innately wrong with them. I just think it has to be balanced with other stuff. And I really focused on softening my psoas, which tends to be a very, very tight muscle in my body. And I also had to face the fact that I may have a difficult labor again, because you never know. Fortunately, where I pushed for 5 hours with my first, I pushed for like 6 minutes with my second. And the whole thing was about 4 hours, but really intensely, probably maybe an hour.
Yeah, I think women need to hear that. I'm so glad you followed it up with that, because it is a huge difference when you're not faced up against some of those challenges.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was also just like my kid's personality too. Like, my daughter would do anything to help me. But I also remember at one point where the bag of water hadn't broken. And all of a sudden I said, I think something's coming out. And I thought, that can't be her head, because that doesn't really hurt. And then within moments, the midwife looked at looked like, oh, and then the bag of water broke and she was born very quickly after. But it was different, because I really took the time to set the intention of, is my pelvic floor supple and springy instead of overly engaged and tight? And my psoas muscles, which support, they go behind the uterus. So they're kind of like cradling their uterus. Are they even imbalanced so that my uterus is balanced? Is my pelvis balanced? So there was a lot of preparation. But on the other side, because again, it's not birth pie, we don't have a recipe, I also had to be prepared that it might be a repeat, because we never know how things are going to be.
I love that you talked about how springy your PC muscle needs to be, because the birth class that I took really emphasized you need to have a tight, strong PC muscle, Kegel, 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 lots and lots of Kegels. And, you know, they were talking about, you know, the advantage to this is that your birth canal is going to be easier for baby to navigate through. But it's interesting, because it was a couple years after I took that class that I was starting to read about how, You don't want it too tight, though. It does need to be a little bit springy. If it's too tight, meaning if you're not doing complementary exercises besides those Kegels, that can create just as many problems as a PC muscle that's too too loose and too. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, you want it to be balanced. Again, it's back to that balance, springy. So a muscle that, there's a difference between tight and toned. A toned muscle that has full range of motion is a healthy muscle. A muscle that can engage as well as a muscle that can release. Now we have some people that have very short, tight muscles. That doesn't mean they're necessarily strong. They can be tight and weak. So you don't want a muscle that's in a constant contracted state. You want a muscle that can engage and release. So I think of it kind of like your Goldilocks pelvic floor. You want to have it to be able to support as well as release. So when we do our pelvic floor exercises in my prenatal yoga, we focus on everyone focuses on relaxation. And then I start to give them some information to start to investigate their own pelvic floor. Because if they're coming to class with a lot of tension and tightness, I don't want to keep shortening those muscles. So I'll ask them things like, you know, when something goes in and out of the vagina, does it hurt? If you were ever to palpate around your own vagina, does it hurt? Around your sit bones, if you're palpating around, is it tender? If you're having a lot of constipation, it hurts to poop. That could be tight or around the tailbone. So I'm giving them information that they can then figure out their own pelvic floor. Or of course, my favorite is go see a pelvic floor physical therapist because they're really going to have the information. But find out what each individual pelvic floor needs and then address that. So we always relax. And then some people are toning because not everyone needs to tone.
Yeah. You know, something else that you had mentioned, and I'm kind of taking this back now because I let you complete that thought, but I was like, wait, the mindset work, you didn't say mindset, but by all means, like everything that you were talking about, and I prepared myself for in case this didn't go the way that I had, you know, desired or planned or hoped for. Yeah.
There's a lot of mindset. And I remember actually having kind of a breakdown conversation with my midwife, who was there for my first, like, for the majority of my first is long. And I don't know, I was like 30 something. I was like kind of heading towards the end, like maybe 36 weeks. Like it was becoming real. And I was really nervous about it happening. And she just looked at me and she said, okay, what are you going to do if it happens the same way, if it unravels the same way? Because maybe it was my pelvis. Maybe it was something in, like, I've worked as a doula with people that their babies just halfway through turn posterior and then somehow turn around. And sometimes it's just the shape of the pelvis or how the ligaments are. And so I had to wrap my head around that. And I just said, I guess I'm going to have to just do it because I didn't know what else to do. So I had to face the fact and mentally prepare. And I had my doula on board who was with me for the first one as well, my husband on board. And we just were really talking about what my coping skills were, what helped me last time and what didn't help me. And should it start to go in that same direction, really leaning into what I found helpful, as well as having a bag of tools, because you never know what you're going to want in the moment. Right. But I found that the first time being in the shower was incredibly helpful. I thought I'd be in the birth tub, but I hated it. And my second time too, I just wanted to be alone in the shower, and every contraction, my midwife's hand would stick in with the Doppler and check and then go away and then stick in with the Doppler. So I really had to mentally prepare. And that's something that we do in yoga a lot, is it's not just in theory. You know, we'll talk about the different pain management techniques. And that's something really I lean into heavily, that childbirth ed aspect. But then I want them to be in some poses that challenge them, physically and mentally challenge them, so they can start to actually work with coping skills in the moment. And that is something that I do think it did help me. I mean, my labor was many days, and I don't think I would have lasted if I didn't have really strong coping skills. So I think having that mental mindset of, I have a bag of tools, I have a support team, and that's going to leave a sense of confidence to head into this ordeal.
I love the message that you're giving to women. If you are someone who has had a long birth or maybe a history of really long births, right? Those marathon over 24, 36 hours. Take comfort. Once a long birth, not always a long birth. You're living proof of that, Deborah. But I love though that your midwife posed that question to you. But if it were, if this next baby you're carrying, if that birth does play out this way, how are you, what kind of mental shape are you in for that experience as well? And what can we do to work with that kind of situation? And what are the coping skills that we have? So I love that message.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, if I can jump in, I know that most people know what yoga is in the sense that, yes, there's classes and yes, you move and stretch your body. Can you take a moment and kind of talk about the philosophy behind what you do or what yoga looks like for prenatal women?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you asked me about the philosophy of what I do, because I don't feel that I could really do justice to the philosophy of yoga. I mean, the philosophy of yoga, to my understanding, is really the cessations of the fluctuations of the mind. But my approach to yoga is a little bit different than your typical yoga class, because I use the asanas as a tool for the body, the mind, and the coping skills. So asana means pose. And I teach in what's called a vinyasa style, where we kind of link the poses together, which is great because we're constantly moving with breath and movement, which is so wonderful for a birth. And so the poses we look at the poses that are going to encourage balance. Again, it's all back to balance. What poses are going to help make sure the pelvis is well aligned and stable? Because often due to the hormones, there can be some asymmetry. One side can tip slightly forward, one side can tip slightly back. So we're looking at poses that can create stability and balance. And we look at poses that can also help gently stretch and relax the pelvic floor, and some poses that add some support. We do some poses that are also going to relax that, again, that psoas muscle, that deep hip flexor. And then we can look at the use of the poses. And this is my philosophy. It's a little different than some people with prenatal. Like, as I mentioned before, I want to safely put someone in a moment where they might be feeling challenged. Maybe it's a stretch. Maybe it's an endurance. I have this pose I created called the mock contraction, which is really just a 60-second wall squat. But 60 seconds is your average contraction in active labor. And a wall squat, and the reason I chose a wall squat is because I find them hard. So there you go. Again, it all sprung from my mind. So it's a 60-second wall squat. So I want them to be safely uncomfortable and to use what we've worked on in class. And usually when I start class, I have some sort of theme, and that's going to highlight some sort of coping skill, some sort of technique we're going to focus on for that day. So the asana is about the balance, it's about the coping skill. And then it's also about, can we just alleviate some of the common aches and pains of the pregnancy? Because a lot of people that are pregnant have some sort of aches and pains. So I use the classical yoga pose in a different way than probably intended by most yoga classes.
I love that. So we've got all these asanas, we've got all these poses that can really help to prepare the body for birth. How do you like to tie in the mental preparation? Because I know that yoga, I know for me, just the general yoga I do, I work through so many emotions and things on the mat. How do you feel, or what do you like to do to help these women prepare mentally through yoga for birth?
That's where I start with the theme for class, and it can be all different types of themes. Like, I did a theme last week where I talked about fear, and I call it homework, that I want them to take a little bit of time and think about, is there a fear that they might be ignoring? And then to take some time and dust it off and really think about it and talk to their birth team about it. And so sometimes it's just the start of class with a little conversation like that. Other times, I think the other day, I teach a lot now online. The other day I was doing a whole class about mantras, and that I can tie more into the class as opposed to just I'm going to talk about this and then go home and think about that. So the mantras I actually tied in, where I gave them two different mantras, and whichever one, when they had a post, pose that was really challenging, can they start to focus on that mantra? The mantra I chose is this too shall pass, because everything that's challenging eventually does pass. And then the other mantra was I'm brave, I'm strong. And then when they hit that moment,
I love that.
Thank you. You know, because when we hit that crisis of confidence, whether it's birth or life or new baby, and you're freaking out, you're like, why is this baby not stopping? Why is it crying? You know, just remind yourself, this too shall pass, and I can, I am, I'm brave, I'm strong. So I look at it and that's a coping skill that we can use for the mind. We do different ones with breathing, with counting the breath, maybe a 3-count inhale, 6-count exhale. And then sometimes I also tie it into a lot of these coping skills are not just for vaginal births. They could be for a surgical birth where, you know, there's times where the pregnant person's by themselves as they're getting the curtain set and their partner's getting their little Oompa Loompa suit on, and they might be freaking, and that's what I got, the little Oompa Loompa suit. And they might be freaking out, and they need to get their mind and body a little bit calmer because it's a lot of anxiety, you know, being moved in for a surgery. So that's where we get the mindset, is often through our little talk in the beginning and then trying to find ways to interweave it throughout the class.
Okay, so we've talked about what this looks like in class. You've shared with us a little bit about your philosophy and the mindset work and how that looks for a prenatal body in preparation for birth. Could you tell us a little bit, or maybe share some examples of when you have seen this in action? And I know that you shared a little bit about yourself, but do you have experiences with women during labor, either during the actual birthing process of labor or prior to, where you've seen a shift, where you've created a shift, where you've helped them find a space either with their body and or their mind that moves them into birth in like a more balanced approach like you were talking about?
Oh gosh, I feel like there's so many that just popped into my head. All right. So there was one in particular that really, I love the story. So she brought with her a sunflower because the center of the sunflower is about 10-ish centimeters. And she kept looking at, so one of my odd sayings that I talk about in class, I say open throat, open vagina. And that's real. So as I mentioned in the beginning, I was a singer dancer, and for years I remember working with this teacher, and I would get really tight at the big money note at the end. So she had me just move my hips around, and then the sound just came out. And then I remember being at births and I was listening to the tight sound some people were making, and I'm like, ooh, what if we move the hips around? And then the sound relaxed. I'm like, oh, if the throat's opened, the pelvic floor is really open. So open throat, open vagina. So I remember, so the student was taking, my doula client was taking my class. And so she brought with her sunflower, and she kept staring at it. And in this big open voice, she kept saying, open, I will open. And I'm like, oh my God, I love that. And she just was having this open throat, and she was focused. She had her mantra. She had her people around her. I call it circling the wagons when the birth team really holds that space. So that was one I thought that we, something that we used in class that really helped. And then another one, I remember I had a student that I always, after the first birth that I did, not my own, but as a doula, that fear was a big part of that. I then started to incorporate that in our prenatal conversations. So I had a student that told me some of her fears ahead of time. And she made it clear that should she start to get overwhelmed by this, that I just hold her hand and look in her eyes. She was an Orthodox Jewish woman, so her husband wasn't involved. Once there's bleeding, sometimes they're not involved. So it was just, she and I were there, and I would hold her hand and look at her eyes and just say, you've got this. You've got this. And so she kind of gave me the signal that we had. So I think there's just so many ways that we can take this preparation from classes, from just conversation, and see it unfold. And she did. She was awesome. Like she I could see her, like the calmness start. Like I saw the fear, like the shoulders and the panic. And then we just addressed it. And while I never knew exactly, like I didn't know exactly what some of the fears were, I knew how to support her and help her to the other side of it.
That's really beautiful. I think that's such a special place that we hold as doulas, and you kind of call it circling the wagons. I really like that. Or we hear it as holding space, or but it's being in that very private, vulnerable, sacred space with another woman, and helping her walk through that with confidence and feeling empowered. And I don't think there's anything like it in this world. I've done all kinds of things and been all kinds of places, and I will tell you, for myself, my doula will forever be a part of my birth story and my life. And I know that I've held that space with other women, and it's sacred. It's beautiful.
It really is. And it's such an honor. And it's funny. Well, I'm not doing it right now. I miss being at the births. I don't miss the schedule or being on call. But there is something that almost like time stands still. It's a very time warp. I mean, it's exhausting at times, I'm not going to lie, but it's also, there's true beauty to be honored to be part of that experience.
We've loved everything you've shared. It's a new perspective. It's a fresh perspective on birth. And so we're grateful for having you here. I've already gotten some takeaways. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so many things you guys can do just with this. But what are some actionable items that women who are tuning in can do during their pregnancy to help keep their mind open, to help keep their pelvis balanced, and all of that in preparation for a smoother birth experience?
I think there's a myriad of things I can do. Obviously, come take my classes online, but really just take
it. I was going to ask you that. Now that it's online, can anybody tune in from anywhere and take those?
Yeah, absolutely. We have people from all over the country. We've had people from other countries, which is really, really cool.
Oh, that's so neat.
That's fun. What's the website for that? Just so they...
prenatalyogacenter.com. So of course I can take my classes, but of course just take, if you're in a community and you have a beloved teacher, that, you know, just make sure they're certified in prenatal. But I definitely think a prenatal class that is focused on balance, is focused on healthy pelvic floor work, will be incredibly helpful for the mind and the body. I think make sure you have a really good birth team. And then I'll just keep stressing body work. If you have a pelvic floor PT that you can work with, if you have a chiropractor, and let's throw some acupuncture in there for, you know, towards the end of pregnancy. I think the more things you can do to prepare yourself, the more confident you're going to be that you've done everything you can. And then it's about surrender to the experience.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That surrender.
You do everything you can. And then from there, you kind of hold birth loosely and you go with that flow and you surrender to what it has for you. I love that.
Okay. This might throw you off. And no, you do not have to answer this question, but I'm genuinely curious. So statistically, and I don't know, maybe there are studies, there aren't studies, or maybe just from your experience with women that you've worked with, women that you have seen come and do this kind of work, say that they've had, like, your prior experience, you can say, I pushed for 5 hours this last time, I pushed for this much this time. Have the experience been pretty consistently? What does that look like for women who are taking the time to do this work, maybe after having not such a great experience? What does that change look like for them?
I don't have a statistic about that. About if someone had a challenging first birth, what it was like for their second. Not everyone gives me the feedback after their baby, especially a second time parent, where they're just trying to keep their head above water. But I do know there was a study years ago, maybe like 13, 14 years ago. Maybe it was less. It was like 10, out of Thailand, about prenatal yoga, specifically in the third trimester, and how that did shorten the pushing stage and that there less need for pain meds. So that I do know there was an actual study on that. But I just get feedback from the students that they felt empowered, that they asked questions, that they knew to have autonomy and agency over their body, that they felt prepared, even if birth didn't unravel how they thought it would, because one does it, but right, that they feel like they had mental and physical tools.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I think a lot of what we talk about, and similar to what you just said, just about the mental preparation and things, but like visualization and manifestation, which I think is part of the mindset work for sure. But that's kind of something we bring women back to a lot. And I'm sure that you do too. You know, what does your birth, if you could have your perfect birth, what would that look like to you? And walking them through the senses of each of that. Where are you? What does it look like? How bright are the lights? What does it smell like? Who's in your birth space? And then creating something around that. And we actually just talked about this on a previous podcast episode where it's like, and then you pull it back to the space that you're actually going to be. And how can you create that like perfection for you in the space that you have with the birth that you have? And it's kind of this joke that like, you know, we always create these plans and it's, you know, plans are fun. But that's, you know, that's the ideal short. But there's a ton of ways to get to your end destination and a lot of choices that you get to make along the way. And as long as you are empowered along the way and you've got that mindset and you can, you know, those mantras, those things that as it gets difficult, you have a plan, something to help push you through. I think we see a lot of empowerment and confidence in women through that.
And I think when someone knows that they have choices and they know to ask questions and they have been in their body and they know how to listen, then again, they feel like they have agency over it. And there's actually been studies. I love studies because I'm such a geek that way. But there have been studies that when people are involved in the choice making, when they're called by their name, when they have autonomy over themselves, there's more satisfaction in the birth, whether it unfolded how they had imagined it would be or not. It might have been, you know, quite a different story, but they were involved and then they're more satisfied, which I think is really important.
Yeah, I agree. Deborah, we want to thank you so much for being a guest on our podcast. We want to thank you for the work that you do and for the empowerment that you help give to women or help them find that empowerment for themselves and the confidence that you give. We hope that all of you will go check out Deborah's prenatal yoga classes. I mean, that is a positive from COVID, right? Is that yeah. There's so many amazing resources that weren't maybe online before, but are now. And so once again, if you can just let them know where to find
all
you,
the places
all
they the can places, find you. Yes.
We'd love to end with that.
So prenatalyogacenter.com is my website. And I have actually free downloadable. I think it's called, I should know this by off the top of my head. I think it's called five simple solutions to the most common pregnancy pain. So they can grab that. And yeah, it's quick and easy. And then if they have a pain, I probably am talking about it. And then I have a pose for it. And then my, Instagram is Prenatal Yoga Center. I know it's not very original, but that's what it is. And then Facebook is Prenatal Yoga Center. And then my podcast is called Yoga Birth Babies. And I think those are all the places to find me.
Wonderful. Awesome. We'll make sure to throw everything that we talked about today, including all the links to find Deborah in the show notes. So definitely don't worry about that. Well, thank you, Deborah. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your wisdom and for sharing with us. We really appreciate it.
I had a great time talking. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, mamas, we will be back with more tips and advice soon. In the meantime, be sure to subscribe so that you get notifications first about new episodes.
And don't forget to head over to myessentialbirth.com for more information on the birth course and to join our online community serving pregnant mamas just like you.